Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 101 on February 15th, 2020. I'm your host, Eric, and in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on Sprint Corporation, Bank of America, and Uber. We'll also discuss three new trades on Jumia Technologies, Tencent Music Entertainment, and the iShares 20-year Treasury Bond ETF. Now, it's always great to hear from listeners. If you have any questions about the trades presented here, or even about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can email questions to eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's E-R-I-C at theweeklyoption.com. I've also created a short video series to teach you all the basics of option trading you'll need to know to be able to follow along with me on this show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab to watch them, or visit our YouTube channel. It's The Weekly Option on YouTube. Now, just like that, we're back at all-time highs. The Dow Jones Industrial Average picked up 295 points week over week, closing this week at 29,398 points. The S&P 500 index gained 52 points, ending the week at 3,380 points. And as a reminder, the stock market in the U.S. will be closed on Monday, February 17th, for President's Day / George Washington's birthday. Now, the topic of the week is sponsored by the Option Studio. If you want to learn to trade options without any calculus or confusing language, visit the website to learn more about the online course. Visit www.theweeklyoption.com for more information. So the topic of the week this week is the value of keeping a trade journal. This is one of those simple things that I ignored for so many years, and I started noticing that many of even the professional traders that I worked with, the successful ones, oftentimes kept a trading journal. And you know, they say success leaves clues, and this was one that I was just overlooking for so long. So I've been a big fan of tracking my trade ideas for years. It's easy to either only remember the wins or to only remember the losses. Like, optimists like me remember the wins. Pessimists, who I do have a tinge of pessimism as well, tend to only remember the losses. And the funny thing is, neither one is the whole story. You need a true record of your performance. And so having a trade journal can provide that. Remember, in trading, the more you rely on the numbers and not on your own emotion, the more consistent your performance will be. So the main things that I track each week and each day are the date and all of the relevant numbers, and maybe a note about what I see or what I saw as the opportunity in the market. The main reason I want all of that information is that if I look at the date, I can always find a stock chart to that I can go back to and look at what was going on in that period, and or even check the news to see what may have triggered that trade idea. And if I have the relevant numbers, then I know where I entered the market and you know where I exited the market, and if there was a profit or loss, or if it was flat. So you might notice, ultimately, by keeping a trade journal, patterns in your logic. And from there, the goal is to do more of what is making you money, and also identify patterns that consistently lead to loss. Like, you don't need any fancy materials for this. This is one of those things where if you have a trusty notepad, if you have some scratch paper that you are going to keep track of, because you want to have this for years, ideally. If you want to use anything on your computer, like I oftentimes will use Excel, I've used a physical notebook, I've used Google Drive to keep documents and on the cloud for a while. However you track, like how you track isn't the point. As long as you track, the goal is simply to get in the habit of tracking your trades from start to finish so that you can start identifying the patterns that you successfully trade, and also identify the patterns that cost you money so that you can either figure out how to fix them or just stop trading those things altogether. Like I realized years ago that I am not good at sideways markets. I'm much more of a trend follower. I want to look at trends. I want to make trades that work with a continuing trend. So whenever someone offers a contrarian trading opportunity to me, nope, can't do it. Why? Because that doesn't fit well. It's never fit well with my personality. Maybe I could teach myself to pick that up, to add that to the toolbox over time, but I know what makes me money and I know it's cost me money. Contrarian markets and also sideways trading markets are not my forte. So what do? I look for trends. I look for ways to make money with the strengths that I have. So that's it for the topic of the week. Now we'll dive into the trade review of last week's trades. We'll start off with the covered call. We looked at Sprint Corporation, symbol S as in Sierra. At the time, the stock was trading for $4.93. I looked at buying that stock and selling the February 5 call at 63 cents. This would yield a maximum return of 14.2% in 2 weeks. Well, Sprint stock closing on Friday at $8.69 per share. The at-the-money call we sold is officially in the money by a lot, and you can repurchase the call for $3.80 if you'd like. That would lock in a $3.17 loss in the call option and a net gain of 69 cents, or total possible was 70 cents on the trade. So you could actually close this trade out early and not hold on to it for another week, or you could just let the week ride out as long as you don't think it's going to fall below, the stock will fall below $5. But ultimately, this trade worked as planned, closing in on a 14.2% return on your capital in under 2 weeks. So not bad. We'll take it as a win if you got involved with that. Our next trade was a credit spread. This time we looked at Bank of America, symbol B as in Bravo, A as in Alpha, C as in Charlie. The stock was trading for $34.61 per share. I looked at selling the February 34 half, 34 put spread at 16 cents, which could yield a maximum possible loss of 34 cents per spread. Bank of America stock gained 24 cents per share, ending the week at $34.85. The out-of-the-money put spread we sold is slightly more out of the money. You can actually buy the put spread back right now for 10 cents, which would leave you with a net gain of 8 cents on the trade. That would be just shy of 50% of your maximum profit on the trade. It is 50%. Since you sold it at 16 cents, you'd be locking in, you know, your maximum gain was 16 cents. So if you receive 8 cents on it, that's 50% of your maximum profit, and you close out the risk. Now, these options obviously expire in 1 week. February expiration is this upcoming Friday, February 21st. So if you simply want to take the money off the table, I totally understand. But as long as stock ends higher than $34.50 per share on Friday, these options will expire worthless, allowing you to keep the full 16 cents we received when we sold the spread. Our final trade from last week for review is a debit spread. We looked at Uber, symbol U as in uniform, B as in Bravo, E as in Echo, R as in Romeo. The stock last week was trading for $40.63. I looked at selling that February 40 and a half call spread for 32 cents. That could give us a maximum return of 18 cents or 56.25% return in 2 weeks. Now, shares of Uber fell 97 cents, closing at $39.66 per share on Friday. So our in-the-money call spread we purchased is slightly out of the money at this point. The spread can be sold at 15 cents, and that would lock in a loss of 17 cents per spread. Now, a quick look at the price chart shows that the current stock price is near the 10-day moving average, and this stock has bounced off of that level several times already this year, and then gone higher. So if you believe the stock will finish higher than $40.32 per share, then it's worth holding on to for one more week. For those of you with a bit more aggressive personality, you can actually add to this trade. You can sell the February 39, 38 half put spread to collect 12 cents. That'll offset some of your initial loss. This will make this trade doubly long, because buying a call spread and selling a put spread is actually, those are both long trades. They both benefit from prices going higher, meaning you'll be adding to your risk, not mitigating your risk. So just run through the numbers, run through the math, just as we've done on previous shows, to look at your maximum return if prices go up, what happens if prices stay the same, and of course, what happens if prices go lower. If you buy a spread, so we bought the call spread, if prices go lower, you lose your premium and that's it. So when you buy an option, of course, your risk is capped. However, if you decide to add to it selling that put spread, you now have put yourself in a situation where your loss is capped. But when you sell a spread for 12 cents, that's worth 50 cents. That means you're on the hook for possibly 38 cents. So that means your maximum loss in this scenario, if stock were to fall below $38.50, your maximum loss would be 12 cents on the put, I'm sorry, 38 cents on the put spread, 32 cents on the call spread. So that'd be 70 cents, right? Your maximum gain, if the stock goes up above $40.50, would be the 12 cents you collect on the put spread plus the 18 cents that's left in that 50 cent spread that you purchased with the call spread. So 18 plus 12 is obviously 30 cents. So stock goes up, you make 30 cents. Stock goes all the way down, you lose 70 cents. If stock stays right here at $39.66, right, and you don't close the call spread, then you'll lose the 32 cents on the call spread, but you would actually keep the 12 cents on that you collect on the put spread, leaving your maximum loss, if prices were to stay right here, minimizes it to 20 cents, right? So that's it. You just have to do the math on every possibility and see if it's something that you are willing to accept for your portfolio and then make the decision there. So when I look at the numbers, it allows me to make more rational decisions than when I just decide, oh my gosh, I lost a little bit of money, let me run out and close a trade. Or I lost money, let me take the next trade where I can pull in some more money. Because you might actually be, well, when you add to your position, when you add a new trade, you're actually changing your risk. And you have to make sure you understand it. So that's it for last week's trades. Let's get into this week's trades. We're actually going to look at a couple of companies that we haven't traded before. So the cover call this week we're looking at is on Jumia or Jumia Technologies, symbol J as in Juliet, M as in Mike, I as in India, A as in Alpha. The stock ended this week at $5.90 per share. And since since February closes in 1 week, we're going to go ahead and look at March trades. So I'm looking at buying that stock and selling the March 6 call at 75 cents per call option, with hoping for a maximum return of 14.41%. So you enter this trade by buying JMIA stock for $5.90 and selling the March 6 call at 75 cents. This trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $6 per share and the break-even price is $5.15. In real terms, the stock purchase would cost you $590 and you would collect $75 for selling the option. And whenever I've seen options like this that are such high premium, like this is more than a 10%, you know, more than 11%, actually, we can do the math, it's a little bit more than 12% on this option, just for in premium, just for selling this call option relative to the strike price. Whenever that's the scenario, normally there's some news or the possibility that the stock is about to pop based on just looking at the options. And if it doesn't pop, that's okay because we're taking in good money and we have that whole 75 cents as cushion against a adverse move in the stock. So if you trade covered calls, you have to be aware of what that stock is doing, because you're actually, the risk of the trade is mostly in the stock, not in the option. Let's get into the credit spread for this week. So I'm looking at Tencent Music Entertainment, symbol T as in Tango, M as in Mike, E as in Echo. This is a stock or an option string that I've been watching for a while and wanting to get a trade in on, and I'm happy to finally have one. So the stock ended the week at $13.15 per share. I'm looking at selling the March 13-12 put spread at 35 cents, which can give us a maximum possible loss of 65 cents on the spread because it's a $1 spread. So you enter this trade by selling the March 13 put at 65 cents and buying the March 12 put for 30 cents. This is a credit spread because we are selling the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices remain above $13 per share. The break-even price on this trade is $12.65, and in real dollar terms, you would receive $35 per spread you sell and have a maximum of $65 at risk per spread. And then our final trade on the week is our debit spread where we buy a spread. We're looking at the iShares 20-year Treasury Bond ETF, symbol TLT, T as in Tango, L as in Lima, T as in Tango. Stock end of the week at $144.55 per share, and I'm looking at buying the March 143-144 call spread for paying 63 cents on the spread, hoping for a maximum gain of 37 cents or 58.73% return in 5 weeks. So you enter this trade by buying the March 143 call for $2.93 and concurrently selling the March 144 call at $2.30. This is a debit spread because we are buying the spread. This trade makes the most money if stock prices remain above $144 per share, and the break-even price on this trade is $143.63. So in real terms, you will pay $63 to enter this spread, and your maximum gain is $37 per spread. So a decent return on your capital at work. So that's it for this week's trades. Thank you guys for listening. My numbers have been growing, which is awesome. That means that our community is growing. I might be putting together an option trading group on Facebook. And if you would, send me an email and let me know if that's something that you might be interested in. I'm going to wait until we have enough people who want to be active in that, because managing the group will take quite a bit of time, but it'll be a place where we can talk about trades in the middle of the week, because I certainly am trading options, and I also trade a few other things. Like I trade some cryptocurrencies, I trade some futures, the E-mini contract, and a couple of others like the Dow are always fun to trade as well with futures. So that's it. If you're interested, feel free to email me. And once we have enough people that are up for that, then I'll create a group and get it registered and email all of you guys that are interested. So hope you have a great weekend. Happy President's Day weekend. Remember, markets are closed on Monday. So we'll have a short trading week, but hopefully you could still make some money because, hey, February options are closing this upcoming Friday. So definitely look at your February trades and decide how you're going to manage it. If they are in the money, figure out how close you are to your maximum profit. If they're out of the money, see if there's a way for you to mitigate the risk of losing money on the trade. So that's it. February closes on Friday, this upcoming Friday, and we'll be fully into March trading as of next week. So that's it. Have a wonderful weekend, a great week. Happy trading.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.